I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 is what we're going to be in, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to continue looking at a prayer of Paul. He's been showing us and teaching us about prayer the last couple of weeks, and we've looked and seen that this Ephesians chapter 3 prayer, that it's about the inner man at the beginning. Prayer, a lot of times we think is about outer circumstances when it's really about the inner man, and when God changes the inner man, then he can handle anything on the outer circumstances. And then we learned last week that it's about the love of God, that he's praying about the love of God, the height and the breadth and the width and the depth and the length of the love of God that he's got us boxed in. And so we come to the end of this Ephesians 3 prayer, and he's going to say, now I want you to know how big God is, how huge God is. Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 is about the riches of God. Ephesians chapter 4 through 6 is about the responsibilities that we have in Christ. So the riches in Christ in chapters 1 through 3 and the responsibilities we have in Christ in chapters 4 through 6. And this right here, as we close out the third chapter, is the pinnacle. It's like the crescendo. It's the moment where Paul's going to say, and this is how great and how huge and how wonderful and how big God is. Amen. And then he's going to start a new thing with chapter 4. In this, I want us to see tonight how big God is, how huge God is. And to get our minds around that, we're going to just watch a funny little video clip for just a second. And to be able to see from the Andy Griffith Show, do you remember that show from way back when? Of how big can be. Let's watch this together.
Something big.
Well, what is it?
Biggest thing ever happened in Mayberry. Real big. Big.
Well, now, just simmer down, Barney. What is it?
Well, I'm trying to tell you.
Well, so far, all I know is it's something big.
Oh, big ain't the word for it.
Something it ain't the word for, you sure are using it a lot. Now, what is it?
Well, I just got it on the radio, direct from the state police, special for us.
Yeah, well, what is it?
Something big.
Barney.
I got something for you tonight as we look into the scripture, something big. What we're going to talk about this evening is something big, the biggest thing that ever happened in Mayberry, if you will, to be able to see the grandness and the greatness of God and how big he wants to move through our prayers, through our church, and through us as well. So I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 is where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in you, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here we have that God says, or Paul's saying about his prayer, he's saying that God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or think. He is that big. He is huge. If we were to have the throne of God somehow on planet Earth, you could have one leg of the throne and all of humanity would be ants at the leg of one leg. One little spot would be a little bitty ants, and that'd be everybody that ever lived. He is huge, and he is vast. He holds all the waters in his hands. He tells the seas where to stop. He's the creator of everything that we have. He is vast. The heavens declare his glory. He knows what is happening at the ends of the universe and what's happening right here. God is big. He knows everything that there is. And when we understand how big God is, we'll realize this. God can do more in a second than we can do in a lifetime. God can do more in a second than you and I can do in a lifetime. And that should give us great peace that we can lay down our shovels and lay down all of our efforts and lay down all the things that we're trying to accomplish and instead to say, God, you can do more in a second than we can do in an entire lifetime. He is that big. He is huge. And the question is then, how big is God in your view and in your life? How big is he in your viewpoint? How big is he in your life? How big is he in what's going on in your world? Here's what we can do. If we don't understand the greatness and the vastness of God, that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think, this is what we'll do. We'll take Jesus and we'll put him in our little bitty box and we'll take Jesus everywhere we go. Instead of realizing that God is too big to fit into one of our boxes, he's too big to be taken everywhere we want to go, watch this. Instead, God is so big, I want him to take me everywhere he wants to go. See the difference? When you have a small God and a big person, then you've got where you take God everywhere you want him to go. Here's my plan for my life, Lord. Here's what I want to do. Would you bless this? Would you make this happen? Would you calm these people? Would you excite these people? Would you make this go well? Would you make this go away? And we begin to take God everywhere we want to take him because we got him in our little box. When the vastness and the greatness that he can do immeasurably more than all you ask or think or then imagine, then now we're on his plan and he takes us everywhere he wants us to go. And that's vastly different. He is great. He is big. He is beyond our imagination. He can do things past our thinking. You can never limit God. You can never say, Lord, I bet you couldn't do this. He can always go further than this. He is able to do more than we ever imagined. Think about this just in the Bible when you think about some biblical characters. Abraham asked for a child, and God said, I want you to go out and I want you to look at the stars. This will be the number of your descendants, not just one child, but everyone after that child numbered in the stars. David asked the king, and David asked as a king in Psalm 21, he said, would you give me length of my days? Not only did God give him length of his days, God gave him a throne forever and ever and ever because Jesus would be in the line of David and would dwell on David's throne, then it would be Christ's throne that would go for all of eternity. So David received far more. Jacob asked for bread to eat and received two companies of people, thousands of sheep and camels, and much wealth. In the New Testament, a man that was sick with a palsy said, Lord, heal me. And Jesus said to him, son, your sins are forgiven. He got more than healing. He got his sins forgiven as well. The thief on the cross said, Lord, just remember me in your kingdom. Just remember me in your kingdom. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Far more than he could ask or he could imagine. The prodigal son, he said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant, Luke 15. And what did the father answer in God's position? He answered and said, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the fatted calf. Bring forth the golden ring. Bring forth all these things and let's have a party and let's dance and celebrate for my son who was lost has been found. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He's able to go past what we can think. He's great and he's mighty. He's huge and he's big. Now think about this. If I was to ask you, can you count to 100? What would you be able to say? Well, yeah, I can count to 100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You just keep on going. You can get to 100. If I was to say, can you count to 1,000? Yeah, you could count to 1,000. 1,000 you could count to. You get a little bored at about 450. But you can make it to 1,000. You could get there. It'd be okay. If I was to ask you if you could count to 1 million, to count to 1 million would take you 11 and a half days to count to 1 million. 11 and a half days to count to 1 million. So you probably couldn't count to 1 million. You'd fall asleep at some point in counting to 1 million. I would, I know for sure. If I was to say, well, can you count to 1 billion? To count to 1 billion would be 31 years, 251 days, 7 hours, 46 minutes, and 39 seconds to count to 1 billion. You couldn't do it. There's no way that you could do it. To count to 1 trillion, you for sure couldn't do it if you thought you could do those. To count to 1 trillion would be 31,710 years. 31,710 years to count to 1 trillion. Now, don't let that discourage you on our national debt just at all, okay? That would take that long to just count there, much less pay off the money. To count there would be absolutely impossible, but yet God says, let there be light, and there's light. Let there be a moon and there's moon. Let there be animals and there's animals. Let there be math and there's math. Let there be trillion and there's trillion right then. He can do more in a second than we can do in a lifetime. He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And he wants to do that in us. Now, here's what is an amazing part of this verse. It's a crazy part of this verse. Here's what it says. It says, he is able to do, now to him in verse 20, who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in you. He does his great work through us. Through us. Now, to him who's able to do all more than we ever could ask or imagine or think through the power that is working in us. Now, to me, when I read that verse, it seems like something's wrong with that. Something got mixed up. We ended up, somebody was talking in Japanese, and we got Swahili in the middle of it. We had Spanish going on, and somebody said German right there. It was Hebrew, and it turned into Greek. It was English, and it turned into French. I got that now he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think. I got that. I understand that. I've been taught that. I know that verse. I can go, God's big. God's great. He can count to a trillion in a second. We're ants at the leg of his throne. He's so big and vast. He can do anything, 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 anything. But then when I get to this section, it says, according to the power that is at work in me. That to me seems like apples and oranges. We've got the vastness and the greatness of the power of God, and then we've got man thrown in the middle of it. How does it work that he's big as the universe, can do anything unthinkable, and then it comes right back to my heart? That seems baffling to me. Now that he can do all these things, but he does it according to the power that works in you. He does his great work through us. We are the vehicles of his power. How? Because the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of our hearts. See, being a believer in Jesus Christ, didn't you just pray some prayer, you walk some aisle? It's that you put your trust in Christ as your Savior. He was the perfect Savior, and I was the perfect sinner. And I made an exchange with him, his righteousness, exchange for my sin, his death on the cross, exchange for my death to come, his resurrection to assure me of going to heaven when I die. Jesus Christ took my place and took every believer's place. If you've trusted in him, you're saying, Lord, I want you to be my replacement. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. The power of God lives inside of you. And we've got to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, because we've made him a lot like cousin it of the Trinity. He's not the cousin it of the Trinity. Now, there's some wacky things that people can do and then call it the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about biblical understanding and who he really is. The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts and our lives is not a foe now in your heart. It is your friend of friends and lover of lovers. Because he knows you and he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to lead you and guide me. And God wants to do his work through us by his Holy Spirit living inside of us and then living through us. How does this happen? It happens by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to him is the key. It's saying, God, I release to you. Do you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about that the Puritans would pray and they would pray with their hand, their palms facing down, and they'd say, Lord, I release to you all the burdens in my life. I release to you all these things in my life. And then they would pray with their palms up, and I encourage you to pray like that for that week, and you can continue on like it. But Lord, I receive from you, palms up, I receive from you. I lay things down to you, I receive things from you. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is that we say, Lord God Almighty, we want to yield to you. Do whatever you want to do in my life. I don't want to take you with me in my little box. I want you to take me with you on your big journey. It's not a little guy taking a big God with me. It's a big God taking a little guy with him. And so I hope when you hear me teach and you hear me preach and you hear the things going on in our church, you hear a big God doing big things through little people. Because it is the power that is at work within us to move through us and yielding to God. John 15, verse 5 puts it like this. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. That means immeasurable more than you could ask or imagine. You could bear that kind of fruit. But apart from me, you will accomplish nothing. Doesn't mean you won't have a schedule. Doesn't mean you won't have a job. Doesn't mean your phone won't ring. It means though for eternity, you will not accomplish anything for eternity. See, abiding in Christ and him abiding in you is to rest in him, trust in him, relax in him so that he takes you on his journey and now he's the vine, you're the branches, you abide in him, he abides in you through the Holy Spirit and now you bear much fruit. And you know what? The fruit will be immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. Your relationships can be immeasurably more than you ask or imagine because God gets involved in them. Your impact, you can literally change the lives of somebody for their eternity. That's immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. God at work in us and through us does things that are immeasurably more, greater than we could ever fathom, because he is at work as we abide and yield in him. And I bet you have at your house what we call at our house the gum drawer. Other people call it the junk drawer is another name of it. It's the drawer that you just throw everything in it, and that's just kind of where it is. So somebody goes, well, where are the scissors? They're in the junk drawer. Where's the this? It's in the junk drawer. I don't know why we keep our gum and our junk in the same drawer, but that's somehow how it happens there. So the kids call it the gum drawer. I call it the junk drawer. We just throw everything in it. Well, we not only have a junk drawer, as most of you probably have, we have a junk cabinet even is what we have. It's above the washing machine and dryer in the laundry room, and so you can open it up, and it's the junk cabinet. So there's things in there that don't make sense. We've got like duct tape and light bulbs. Doesn't make sense. Why are these two together? With maybe a can of spray starch, and maybe this kid's, you know, sports schedule might be stuffed in there too. Who knows? Well, in there, in the junk cabinet, I have what I call the bag of batteries is what I have. This is the bag of batteries from my junk cabinet. Too big to go in the junk drawer, so we moved it to the junk cabinet. Now, if you have children, you know that you need batteries for everything, right? And you always need like 8 of them, and you have 6 of them. You need AA, and you got AAA. You need a C battery, and it needs a 9-volt is all what you have. So we have all these different batteries. So I just decided I'm going to have a bag of batteries. So I just put all the batteries in one bag so I can go in there whenever we need whatever. I can just grab the batteries and then take them off, and we're ready to go. This battery bag sits on the shelf in a cabinet. Dormant power sitting on a shelf. See also the church many times. Dormant power sitting on the shelf. Oh, we look like the remote control car. We look like the toy, but we're not animated like the toy should be because the battery is not being utilized of the Holy Spirit in our life. We've got all the trappings of it. We look just like it on the outside, but the control has not been given over to the Holy Spirit of God. God the Father does not have the Holy Spirit or does not have the control. Jesus Christ does not have the control. So we're the remote control with the dormant battery sitting on the shelf and not letting God do his work through us. And I'm telling you this, let's get the batteries off the shelf and let's realize they're in our heart and let's let God do something. Because he wants to do something immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. He is big. Oh, it's big, big. Big, big. What's a good word to describe it? Big, but big's not even the word for it. It's big. It's big what God wants to do. See, God has been at work in us and through us as a church as we've let this battery kind of light up in our hearts, as we've let God do what he wants to do. If you've been hanging out with us for about the last year and a half, you'll know the phrase Mission 1:8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, our city, Judea and Samaria, our nation, and to the ends of the earth, our world. So we had this vision that we were going to make a difference in our city, our nation, and our world. We weren't going to forget about the widow and the poor and the orphan either. So we were going to go for it with that. And here's what we asked, if you remember. We said, okay, in 2 years, $45 million, if we just kind of do nothing, we're going to have about $45 million that's going to come in for ministry. That's going to be our budget over 2 years, 22 and a half. So it comes up to $45 million. So that's what we're going to do. And we asked the question, what would happen if another $15 million came in? What would take place? What could we do with that? And we listed out all the things we wanted to do with that. We actually showed a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association member. He was at our church. We said, here's what we're thinking about doing. And he said, that is impossible. Which I want you to know is tremendously discouraging when Billy Graham's organization tells you something's impossible, okay? I'm like, really? Okay. Dear Lord, are you sure? Billy Graham, I know what God said, but Billy Graham just said. So we asked this question, what would happen? What would happen if all of that came in? And God began to do his work. And this is what we asked the question. We wanted to be about discipleship. So we went to this ladder, the generosity ladder that Nelson Searcy in his book Maximize gives us. And this is what we did is we said, okay, what if somebody's never given before to their resources to the Lord? Well, we're going to ask them to be first-time givers. And just a minute, I'm going to tell you how many first-time givers we had, and you'll be blown away. First-time givers, we're going to ask you to jump in and look, we're doing all this without you. What if you jumped in? What more could we do with you? So jump in as a first-time giver. A lot of people in the church are occasional givers. You know, if the video makes me cry, then I give money. And, you know, those poor kids and I all give some money. And I just occasionally, it's kind of like bumper cars. You hit the wall and you turn around and you keep going. But it's like an occasional giving. Then we said, okay, if you'll move from occasional to intentional, you don't have to be at a biblical tithe of 10%. You can start at 2%, start at 3%. Just jump in, just be intentional. When you receive income, say, Lord, I thank you for it, and I'm going to give you a portion of my income to have your eternal plan go forward. Those that are intentional, we said, well, why don't you take a step up and go to tithing? We want you to go to tithing, and now you can jump from this intentional. You can go and step up to a biblical tithe of, Lord, when you give me a dollar, I sure can give you a dime. And I want you, God, to do your work through me, and I want to be about what you're doing. So I'm going to jump to tithing. Many have been tithing for a long, long time. We said, we want you to move to be an extravagant giver above the tithe. Now, my wife and I, we've been extravagant givers for decades now. So we wanted to go from extravagant to extravagant, further up, and just walk up this generosity ladder. Where are you on this generosity ladder even now? What's your next step? What's the place God wants you to be? Every one of us wants to be generous. Every one of us. Nobody's like, you know, I feel like my spiritual gift is stingy. That's what I feel like. I want to be a stingy, selfish, egotistical, if I can manage it, believer in Jesus Christ. Nobody wants to be that. Everybody wants to take that next step up, but we're bound in by debt. We're bound in by fear. We're bound in by a lot of things. Just get started and keep going. And jump on this. So we ask the question, if we're going to do $45 million in 2 years already, what if more people got involved? And I want you to know God has done immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Because we are now on track not for another, not for just the first $15 million to come in, but for another $15 million to come in. And I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes what we're going to do with that other $15 million. We're going to get to do even more. But before we get there, I want you to see this four-minute video. This video, I want you to hear me loud and clear. You are a part of this. When I got this video emailed to me and I watched it, I emailed back and said, I can't believe I get to be a part of this. This is amazing. Every church plant you see, our church has been a part of. Every little touch point you see, our church has been a part of. This is what God has done immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. It is big. It is our city, our nation, and our world. Let's watch this together.
Oh,
Is that amazing or what to see that? It's amazing to see all that God's done. Every one of those church plants, every one of those missionaries, we've been able to help support, which has just been incredible to see that. And here's what's great is, yes, we've hit our initial goal, but we haven't hit our pledge goal. And so God's going to be able to do even more. I want you to turn. You received this when you came in, your weekly guide when you came in. I want you to grab that, and I want you to just open it up one section where it should be a bunch of orange and white looking type of things with Mission 1-8. And I want to tell you what's going to happen with the next $15 million. We're going to follow the same exact percentages that we followed for the first $15 million. To follow exactly how we did the percentages of our widow, poor, and orphan, and prisoner, of how we did the nation, the city, and the world. We're going to follow those same exact things because we said, you know what, if that's what we started with in the beginning, we're just going to continue with that. So let me show you. To the left-hand side, we're going to give money to support these different ministries, and we divided it up so you could see our city, that we're doing a lot of other things in our city besides just multi-sites. There on the left-hand side, there's an asterisk that's next to all of the ones on the right side of the words, that all the ones that are the first-time recipients of contributions from Mission 1-8 funds. That means 60% of all those ones on that page there on the left for our city, those 60% of them are brand new. We've never been able to give to before through Mission 1-8. That's amazing. In our world, 78% of those are brand new. That if we would not have done immeasurably more, if God wouldn't have done immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, then we wouldn't have been able to give to those places. Now, I want you to look on the right-hand side. There's a circle right up here by those bar graphs, and it's right up here to the right, and it says this: funding for missional endeavors increasing from 22% to 51% of Houston's first budget. Before Mission 1-8 started, we were at 22% of money going outside the walls of the Loop campus. Now, that's huge already. That's not something to go, oh, wow, y'all are so stingy. That's amazing to begin with. Now we are at, by all of this, if we continue to go to our pledge goal and even a little bit further, then we will be at 51% of the money coming into the church is going out. That doesn't mean the other 49 is not being used for ministry. It is. But just missional things going outside the doors of the Loop campus. We're going to invest in our city. We've already seen God has done so much in our downtown campus. 40 years ago plus, I guess, they wrote into the contract when we moved our church from downtown to here to this location. They put in the contract that we could use the facilities in that skyscraper for 99 years. So we've still got like 59 years left on the contract. And I won't be the pastor by then, so the next guy will have to figure that out. What do we do then? But it is secured. It's good. It's a place for our facilities there. They actually had to meet downtown in the Hyatt today because there was flooding in the place where we were meeting before. So we got some problems, but we'll get it all worked out. That's the building's issue. They'll figure it out. So downtown's secure. We're going to buy land in Cyprus. We're going to build a building in Cyprus. Please join me in praying for that. That's a big deal. And this is the immeasurably more than we ask or imagine prayer. As I'm praying, and I want you to join me, that God would bring us into that Cyprus building debt-free. That's going to be a big deal. That means God's going to have to do even more, imagine, than we could ask or imagine. But I can imagine that, Lord, so do even more than that. So pray with me that that would happen. Our Siena campus, we've been able to purchase the place that we meet there. So God's going to be able to use that and a great facility to use that. Here at the Loop campus, we're going to begin at 5 o'clock on Easter Sunday. We'll start it, and it'll meet at 5 o'clock just as you're meeting here. We're going to have a Spanish campus meeting here at the Loop. It's going to be an amazing thing. We've already got a Spanish campus pastor. We're building a staff. It's a great, great thing. So the Lord is doing amazing things in our city and also through these widow, poor, and orphan aspects of our city. In our nation, we've been going to New York. We've been going to New England. We've been going to the Bay Area. But we're also going to add going to Montreal, Edmonton being the North America area. And then we're going to add some mid-major cities. So not quite the major, major cities, but just a little bit lower. We're searching out those, where to go, and help church planning there. In our world, we've been in East Asia, we've been in Rio, we've been in Madrid. We're also going to add Africa, other places in Europe, and in India we're going to go. So we're going and letting God take that forward to go. I hope that you'll look through this whole thing and read it. In this intersection, we've got information about our faith center that's got where we do benevolence ministry. I don't know if you know this, but we minister each month to about 2,000 people with food and about 1,300 people with clothing. So God's doing great things in our city through that as well. You can read about that as well. God has done immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Now, here's what I want you to hear. A couple more things on this, and we'll move on to the last verse and be finished. I want you to hear not just what God's accomplishing through us as a church. That is great and awesome. That's a big deal to set out those goals. I want you to hear what God's doing in us as a church, because this ladder is about discipleship. This isn't about just ministry. It's about us being discipled. For people that have never given, jumping in here to be first-time givers, occasional, intentional, tithing, extravagant, so that we could move up and we could grow up in our faith and be discipled. Now, let me tell you how many first-time givers we've had in the last, since March 2013, so the last, year and a half, something like that. This is discipleship. Brand new first-time givers. We have had 2,300 first-time givers in Mission 1A. Yeah, man. Here's the deal. We were asking the question, we're already doing this without you. What could we do with you? This is what we can do with you. That video is what we can do with you. Jumping in. 2,300 people that are jumping in and saying, I want to be a part of that. So I want to tell you a couple things. Number one, if you're a part and you've given a pledge to Mission 1-8 and you've said, I want to be a part of this, I want to encourage you this, and I'm doing the same thing. This is my family. I'm speaking to my family as well. Number one, fulfill the pledge that you made. Number one, fulfill the pledge you made, because that will enable us to finish what, or not to even finish, there's always more to do, but to be able to complete what God's put before us with this next $15 million. Also in that group, I want you to pray about what God wants you to do, because we had a 2-year goal, and that's coming up in about April. I want you to pray about what God wants you to do. Here's what we're praying about. We stretched, and we're praying about staying at the same place that we're giving or going above, because you know what? I've eaten every meal, and God has blessed me tremendously, and it's been awesome. I haven't missed a bit of it. So I don't want to go down. I want to keep going up and let God do even more in my life and in my family. So if you're in group one and you've made a pledge, fulfill your pledge and prepare or pray about what God would want you to do in the future. Number two, if you're not a part of Mission 1-8, why not? This is the greatest thing in the world you could be a part of. You are truly ripping yourself off is what you're doing. And so let God lead you and jump in at whatever place in the ladder you need to jump in to let God do his work through you. That is amazing. Now, let me give you a quick story. One of the places that we have here that we've helped with in Mission 1-8 is a place called The Source for Women. It's a pregnancy clinic so that ladies that are thinking about an abortion could come and receive counseling and not have an abortion. It's right over on Long Point. Now, we're not the only ones that help with The Source for Women. Many people do. But we're a part of helping with this Long Point location to get that started. So I think I can say without any problem that without us, we wouldn't have opened that one. They wouldn't have opened that one. Well, that one, they call it Salvation City is what they call it in their organization. Because 73 ladies in the last 2 years have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior as they've come in for counseling. Amazing. And even better, 195 babies have been saved from abortion. Can you imagine that? Almost 200 children. So why am I saying let's keep going? Because I believe there's 196th baby that needs to be saved. And God has more to do. He wants to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Let me give you what the goal is in the verse, and then we'll be complete in our time. What's the goal? We'll see it in verse 21 in a second. The goal is his glory in the church, in Christ, and all generations. The goal of our prayers to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine is his glory in the church, his glory in Christ, his glory in all generations. Look in verse 21 and let me show it to you. To him, that's God, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus and to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So he's saying, I want God's glory. When you're talking about praying in the inner man, when you're talking about being loved, we're talking something big. This is big, 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 big. His glory in the church and in Christ in all generations. Now let's ask this question. To him be the glory in the church is one of the things, and in Christ is the other thing. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that Christ has given God perfect glory. Do you feel like we could do that? Check. Did Jesus give God glory? Check. Done. What is up for debate in the influence of the generations and forever and ever to come is the church. This is the part that's up for debate. Will we as believers in Christ, as individuals, then as the church as a whole, give glory to God? And if that happens, he'll do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine in generations forever and ever. Amen. See, the church is an interesting thing. Christianity is a very forward-leaning movement and relationship. We talk about heaven. We talk about Jesus returning. We talk about God's plan for your life. What's God going to do in the future? Let's pray for something to happen here. We're very forward-leaning, aren't we? That's Christianity. It's a very forward-leaning. Now, of course, past sins and the patriarchs and forgiveness of past sins and the patriarchs, all that stuff, we get that. It's past as well. But it's very forward-leaning. But yet the church as an organization is very past-leaning, isn't it? Let's protect ourselves. Let's make sure the past stays intact. Let's honor tradition over innovation. And God is saying, I want the church to give me glory, and I want you to pray prayers that are bigger than you could ever imagine. I want you to trust me deeper than you ever thought, because I can do what is immeasurable and unthinkable and far beyond what anything could happen or imagine. Christ has done it. The question is the church going to do it? Because we are a part of something big. The church is God's vehicle for believers to be unified on mission for his will. The church is more than a club or a hobby. We are the ambassadors of Christ, the embassy of heaven on earth, declaring who he is. And it is something big what he wants to do. God wants to move in great ways, and we are on mission. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine or think, according to the power that is at work in you. Boy, that sounds like German in the middle of English. Why? So that he would have glory. Where? In the church. In who? In Christ Jesus. How long? In all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, he wants to make an exchange with you so that you could live a life that is beyond imagination. Doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means that it can have eternal consequences and impact. Andrew Murray, I'll end with this quote, gives us a great quote, and it's about this passage of Scripture, and this is what he says. He says, beware. Beware in your prayers above everything of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can do. Expect unexpected things above all that we ask or think. Each time you intercede in prayer, be quiet first and worship God in his glory. Think of what he can do. Think of how he delights in Christ. Think of how he delights in your place in Christ, and expect great things. So I tell you this, God can do in you and in me and in us far beyond we ask and imagine, what we ask and imagine. So let's let him do that through Mission 1-8. Let's let him do that through our church. Let's let him do that through us, because I want you to hear me. It's big. It's big, big. It's the biggest thing that's ever happened in Mayberry. It is, big's not even the word for it. I can imagine big. It's immeasurably more than we ask or imagine.